This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Just the two of us today. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Bink will call in a little bit later on today, around 11:45 or so. I want his draft plan, plain and simple. So whether he was going to be in with me today or not, I said, I need your draft plan, Bink. He said, I got a bunch of takes to fire off. So he's going to call in around 11:40, 11:45. Give me his draft plan. Also, a little bit later on, we'll have one final conversation with Dane and Hughes for this football season, kind of put a bow on it all together, look ahead to the future a little bit. Former Chiefs wide receiver Dane and Hughes will join us at 12:10. We'll get the video stream up and running shortly as well. You can check it out on Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You guys know the usual spots. Appreciate you hanging out with us. A lot of you back at work today. Way more traffic on the road. The sun is out, even though it is freezing. Well below freezing today. Stay safe out there. Appreciate everybody for making sure the roads are cleared. A lot of you, we know that, listen, work for different municipalities and out there, or landscape companies out there shoveling neighborhoods and everything like that. So appreciate you guys getting everybody the path, right, to get to work, get wherever they need to today. So yesterday, before the show started, we were actually talking to Dusty about this, and he's like, hey, what potential options are there for trades for the Chiefs? And we were having conversations. We kept floating out a couple of names, and I'm curious where you guys are at on this as well. We'll take your text, 913-586-7965. But for me, if you think the Chiefs just don't have the draft capital already to go and get, let's say it's a left tackle, or use draft capital to go in the draft and get the left tackle, or actually go and trade for a left tackle, you're like, well, how do you get more capital? We know a couple of years ago when they needed a big pivot, all right, they got multiple first round picks when they traded Tyreek Hill, and that led to Karlaftis and Trent McDuffie, two of the big pieces of this defense, two guys that will eventually get contract extensions. I think McDuffie will get it in Kansas City. I'm not 100% sure Karlaftis will get that extension in Kansas City or not. Is there even that type of move to be had? The three names that we kept circling back to, and I only think there's one that would give you value and I would be willing to even discuss. There's one that to me is off limits, and there's another that I don't think you'd get anything for. The three names when we were talking with Dusty, and Drew was there as well, was Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, and Rashee Rice. And you guys can tell me if you think there's another name. I don't think Rashee Rice is giving you any value, number one. I should say any value. Value enough to trade him.
Sure.
Because of the injury and a looming suspension. I also wouldn't trade him because he's not making any money. He's on a rookie contract. I have a couple more years of control at a premium position. So that's the first reason why.
And he's also very good.
And he's also a hell of a football player. Now, to have trade value, you got to be a hell of a football player. The other one, Trent McDuffie, is just a non-starter for me. And I think that's where we differed in the bullpen a little bit. I would absolutely have no interest in doing that. As we look at the difference in cornerback value that the Chiefs have had, and we know they haven't given out these long-term deals to corners, Trent McDuffie's different. He's just different from me. He falls in a completely different category. He is better than any of the other corners they have chosen not to give extensions to, and certainly would be better than any of the corners that they traded, time out L'Jarius Sneed, especially now that we know, and they knew at the time, the injury history when they traded L'Jarius Sneed. So then you get to Chris Jones, fan favorite, future Hall of Famer, all kinds of records when his career is over in Kansas City in terms of franchise records and everything like that. I wouldn't do it, but he's the only one I could sit down, you know what, I'll listen and have a real conversation about. The problem with this is, who the heck is getting after the quarterback next year? So you have to then admit that you're taking a decent-sized step back, if that's the case. Because while I think they need to devote more resources into the offense, your defense can't just be suddenly 24th or 25th and think that you're going to where you need to go. We saw how that worked for many years early on. The first year or two in particular, for Patrick Mahomes. Now, Chris Jones, he turns 31 in July. He has a $34.5 million cap hit next year. And then when he's 32, the cap hit is $41 million. And then as we knew when he signed the extension, at age 33 and 34, he probably doesn't see those years because there's a potential out in 2027 with $12 million in dead cap. Otherwise, the final 2 years of the deal are $34 million cap hit, and at age 34 would be a $41 million cap hit. He's never seen that. That number is never happening, whether he plays great or not. At age 34, he's not having a $41 million cap hit in Kansas City. Just not happening. Because of the financials, because of his age, he's the only one of the bunch that would get you something and I would listen to. But I just don't think any of those three guys are getting moved. Are we missing somebody else? I don't believe they can pull off a trade a veteran or a star, get a bunch of draft capital trade this offseason.
In terms of what, though? Like, I don't like what would be the end goal of you doing that trade? Like, what would be the point of trading Chris Jones to move up and get a tackle? Or you know, what exactly is the end goal there? Because if you get, I don't know, let's say you get a second round pick for Chris Jones, are you using that to, coupled with other picks,
that's
to
the
move
thing.
Up?
And that was the thing we were debating with Dusty before the show yesterday. Yeah, it was like, what are you acquiring? You're not trading Chris Jones for just a starting for left tackle.
Yeah.
Like and again, this is not the NBA. So like in the NFL, rarely. Can you honestly think of a legit, not like
player
random
player trade?
That's not the NBA.
No.
There's no, you don't trade a starting future Hall of Fame defensive lineman and get a starting left tackle that's under the age of 28. Like that, that doesn't exist.
And you wouldn't, if you traded Chris, let's say they trade Chris Jones, they get a second round pick. You trade your first, your second, and maybe you send another first to move all the way up into the top 10 and get your left tackle. If it doesn't hit, you essentially committed dynasty suicide in a way because you lose your Hall of Fame defensive lineman, who is almost irreplaceable. You failed on the left tackle again. You didn't get a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and your first next year is gone. You'd almost just destroy the dynasty with that trade single-handedly if that was the goal. So if you do make that move, or if you would make that move,
yeah,
it would have to me, I don't think they would do it because this year there isn't like a Joe Alt where if they knew, hey, Joe Alt is in this draft and we can go get him. It's going to take trading Chris Jones, but we feel like we can get him and have that stabilized protection for Patrick Mahomes' backside for the very long term, if not the rest of his career as the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. And then you kind of deal with things as you go from there regarding the defensive line. And maybe, hey, you use some money to bring in somebody else, even though they likely aren't going to replace all of what Chris Jones does. But I feel like he's the only guy, Chris Jones, that would get. I mean, maybe Trent. I don't know what you could get for Trent McDuffie. I mean, are you getting a first for Trent McDuffie?
He's a non-starter for me. Yeah, you would get.
I don't think you would trade him either.
You would get the most for him, yes, because he's a two-time All-Pro, top three corner in football, and he's under the age of 26. So yes, he would bring the most value. I'm out on that. I'm really out on all three, but I was like, okay, I can at least understand a little bit because of the finances and the age Chris Jones, but it's also not. Do you want to create another massive hole on your roster? You know, if you trade at a lesser position, then you can say, all right, that's easier to mask. If all of a sudden you lose Chris Jones and Charles Manihue's a free agent and Turk Gordon's a free agent on your staff, you would have George Karloftis and
Felix
and Mike Dana. And so if I'm trading that player,
significant downgrade.
If I'm trading that player and then having to then use massive assets to go find the next great edge rusher or defensive lineman, what do we no. So I just don't think it makes a whole lot of sense, even though we all know, I think it's the reason why these scenarios are coming up is everybody knows they feel desperate to go get a left tackle because everybody's fed up with not having one for the last 5 years. Even though they've won rings, we all recognize that they need to have a stable left tackle, not this one and done type of stuff and stop gaps and plug and play kind of stuff. No, they need to find a guy that can be their left tackle long term. And I think they have, as I said, while it hasn't worked, I think it's incorrect to say they haven't recognized that and tried. I mean, they thought they had that in Kingsley last year. Clearly that's not the case, but they spent not a top 32 pick, but a top 70 pick. You can say, well, that's not good enough. Okay, that's fair. We've talked about the scenarios and how good is the draft class. Can you trade up? But it's not like they've only spent like fifth round picks on tackles and thought they were going to get it. They spent a top, not just a top 100, but a top 70 pick on a tackle last year. And we all saw how that went.
Well, yeah. And you don't want to be in the situation where you become like the Thanos meme where you got your left tackle. What did it cost? Chris Jones and basically the entire defensive line. Yeah, you don't want to. I don't think you want to jump into that pool because even if you do get the left tackle, your defense is not as automatically not as good, and you find yourself in a limbo again of trying to make up for lost talent, and you're hoping at the same time that the left tackle is actually going to pan out to be the player that you want.
I would say, Drew, the number one text I've seen in the last 4 minutes that we keep getting, 913-586-7965.
Not a player that we mentioned.
Has been, there must be multiple now. Tag and trade Trey Smith. What if we tagged and traded Trey Smith? Why can't they tag? So let's talk about that for a second. So I was looking up just what's the projected number for a franchise tag. Depends on the ultimate. I don't know if the numbers are out there yet, but there's some estimations on franchise tag numbers and by position what you're looking at. So you start there and you say, okay, so that member, if you franchise tag somebody, and I don't believe they're going to do that. It's not going to be $26 million, something crazy. It's like we're talking about a guard here. But that number has to be on your cap, and you have to be under it by the league year. Remember, as long as he's tagged, that's a number that's on there, and you carry that until he gets moved. So that's, for starters, why they possibly wouldn't do it. The other thing is, in trade, what do you think you're getting for him? It's a non-premium position. That's the argument why I wouldn't pay him as well. He's a great football player. He plays guard. He's going to get maybe a four-year deal for $110 million, $105 million is some of the projections that are out there. So that's the contract.
And the Chiefs have no leverage because he would be a free agent. So
yeah, so you tag him, okay. You're not getting like a second round pick for him. If that's the team would have to give up draft capital and give him the largest contract in guard history in the NFL for a guard in the NFL. I don't think you're getting that. The reason why you don't do is you're not getting the value that you believe. I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe you get a third for him or a fourth. I honestly don't know. I know you're not getting a first round pick. I know you're not getting a second round pick for him because they also have to pay him. So that's my personal belief for those asking, why can't they just tag and trade him? I think we'd all be very surprised. As we learned last year with the L'Jarius Sneed trade as well, different player. But my point is players never go for as much in the trade market as we think. They never bring back as much as we think they should. It just doesn't.
Especially in the NFL.
Unless you're talking about trading a under 30-year-old franchise starting quarterback, you're very rarely are you getting what you think you can get. We all at the time thought it was crazy that L'Jarius Sneed only went for whatever he went for, and then now he, of course, barely played, and now everybody's happy because the Chiefs have
that you got a third round
basically
pick in the
first pick in the third round. First pick in the third round. So that would be my reason why I don't believe that's the case. So we'll get back to this. I promise. We'll get back to this a little bit later on. We'll talk to Dane and Hughes about it as well. 913-586-7965. Just getting started. The other thing that has been out there a ton, a lot of people are acting like Mahomes, for some reason, is now going to have to wait 10 years to get another ring. I don't know how long he's going to have to wait. And yes, is it possible that he never wins one? Sure. Would I bet that he never gets one again? Absolutely not. Just because one terrible performance, we don't need to lose our dang minds and act like suddenly he's not the best quarterback in the league. Suddenly this still wasn't a team that won 15 games. So I don't get the national sentiment that's out there when it comes to ring chasing and things like that, as if, well, Brady had to wait 10 years, so Mahomes is going to have to do that as well. And then you're banking on Mahomes doing a bunch after 40. Who says that has to happen? I don't know if Mahomes is ever going to win another one. I don't know if he's going to win any at past the age of 40, but he's got 10 years to try. Why are we acting like he can't? And I bring this up because I'll play along for a second. And here's why I think it's really challenging to think that he is not going to get back to another Super Bowl in the next 10 years. And in my opinion, win at least one more in the next 10 years. The thought is, when you do this exercise, and I tell you, Drew, play along, and let's take Mahomes' name out of this as well. And I think Andy Reid is coaching at least through 2029 when his contract exists. So I'm going to at least say, for the sake of the conversation, Andy Reid is at least here through the 2029 season. So you take Mahomes' name out of it, and I have a 10-year gap for those that think he's not going to have a chance to win one for 10 years. How are you dividing up the next 10 years on who's winning rings? Somebody's winning rings. How are you dividing that? He's still playing in the AFC. We're just saying he cannot win one in this scenario. It doesn't mean he can't go to a Super Bowl. People are telling me he's got to wait 10 years. So he can't win a Super Bowl. It doesn't mean he's not blocking the AFC still. Mm-hmm. So do you have a bunch of NFC quarterbacks? How do you divvy out the next 10 years if Mahomes is not part of that equation and actually winning the rings? Because I tried to do it. Not only is it tough because you're guessing a little bit, but I was like, I struggled to get to the number 10. Like, who do I think who's still going to have to deal with Mahomes in the AFC? He just can't win it, but you still got to deal with him. Either he blocks you from getting to the big dance, or you still are having to deal with him in wild card divisional round games. Oh, and then there's the NFC guys. So I tried to go through the next 10 years.
Okay.
All right. And here's what I came up with. If we're not allowed to pick Mahomes, I have Jalen Hurts winning another one, giving him a total of two. I have Jaden Daniels winning one, giving him one. I have Josh Allen winning two, because hey, if Mahomes is not going to win one, then maybe the odds go up. You're telling me that Mahomes can't win one for a decade, so maybe the odds go up for Josh Allen. I have him winning two. Jordan Love with one. Caleb Williams with one. Lamar gets one. Brock Purdy gets one. And then, oh yeah, I forgot to mention, in college player counts, as in the guy doesn't exist yet, because we're talking about a decade. I have whoever that college player is. I don't know. It could be Sanders. Could be Arch Manning. Could be a guy we don't even know who the hell he is. Two of them for that guy. That's how I got to 10.
So you didn't pick Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow?
I picked Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
I picked Josh Allen for two. My point is, of the next 10 years, I just find it very hard to believe Mahomes is not getting another one. Because look how difficult it is to get to 10. To think of 10 over the next 10 years, who else is getting them? How did you come up with it?
Well, in fairness, so I think, obviously,
besides Burrow winning five in your mind.
No, I don't think he'd win five. Look, if they won one, then that'd be good enough for me. I could die afterwards and I'd be happy. I don't know if, I feel like Lamar Jackson would get at least one. He might get two. Josh Allen's tricky for me because he's never beaten Joe Burrow. He's never beaten Patrick. He's never beaten Joe Burrow, period, in his career. He's never beaten Mahomes in the playoffs. So I feel like that's a little bit tough. I think Lamar would get at least one. He might get two. The Caleb Williams one is interesting to me because I think that tells me that I know that you're obviously a big believer in Ben Johnson and everything like that. Does the NFC all of a sudden become like the AFC in this scenario where the AFC beats it? They'll beat each other up a little bit still because it's, you know, still, it would still be Lamar, Burrow, and Josh Allen. And who's to say CJ Stroud can't continue to develop?
But Mahomes is still there. I was just told he can't win for a decade. So he's still there. He's still in the postseason. He can still block you. He just can't win one for a decade.
I do feel like if Mahomes is still there, then Josh Allen, it gets trickier for Josh Allen to get it done, as far as I'm concerned, and Lamar Jackson. And the NFC conversation is interesting, though, because I think Jaden Daniels would be in there. He would at least make one or two. It is really hard when you think about, the next 10, I think it's because we're so used to Mahomes being there. It's hard for us to really contemplate what it would be like if he didn't make one. What would it actually look like? How can we picture Patrick Mahomes not being in another Super Bowl for 10 years?
Yeah, I can't.
I don't know if you can, realistically even. Obviously, we have no idea what the future is, but even realistically, you have to say that Mahomes is going to be in one at least be in one. In the next 10 years,
I would bet a very large sum of money, that he is at least in the Super Bowl again in the next decade. Yes.
I don't know if there's a good comparison, but I don't know how stunning it would be if he wasn't in a Super Bowl in the next 10 years. I mean,
I would be shocked.
It would be really surprising. That either means Andy Reid retired earlier than we think, and the new coach just wasn't cutting it. Somehow the team didn't say they traded Chris Jones and the left tackle didn't work out, or they didn't pay McDuffie, or something had to have happened in there.
Well, I mean,
in that run, I feel like, where if they didn't make a Super Bowl with the roster that they have and the coaching staff that they currently have, or it doesn't seem like Spags is going anywhere, something had to go wrong in there one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, this is now spread out for a decade, so majority of these 10 years, Chris Jones won't be part of, no matter what, because I think you're 2 or 3 years max anyway, no matter, like, you know, no matter what happens. Yeah, the Andy Reid part is still the biggest shift in the entire thing. So what does happen whenever that day is, whether it's after 2029 or whatever, 4 years from now, 7 years from now, I don't know. That'll be the big pivot and the big question as Mahomes is entering, you know, his 30-year-old season coming up this next season as well. So, look, I don't believe it. I was just like, hey, if everybody's going to keep saying he's going to not win one for another 10 years, I'm like, try to tell me right now and how difficult it is. Try to tell me over the next 10 years how you think it divides out.
It's hard for you to wrap your mind around the fact that Mahomes wouldn't make it. And I think it's easy to fill in the blank, I think, because, well, you can say, well, one of Burrow, Allen, and Lamar Jackson is going to be in there still, I guess, if Mahomes can't make it. But Do they win one? Do they not win one? Who would it be from the NFC? It is interesting. I don't think you mentioned Brock Purdy in there at all whatsoever.
I had Purdy with one. Yeah, so
I missed that.
Without Mahomes, Hurts had one. So how many NFC quarterbacks did I have? I had Hurts winning one, Jaden Daniels winning one. I guess they could move conferences, but they're probably not. Caleb Williams, Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I had five. I think I had five.
Yeah.
I guess college player times two. I don't know what conference they're going to.
In all honesty, NFC seems like the move for a couple of teams in terms of quarterback need more than anybody else.
Right.
If Cam Ward gets in, who knows? Or Arch, as you said.
A player that doesn't exist.
You did not have Dak yet. Or I don't think
no,
you had Dak
I do not
correct.
Think Dak Prescott's ever winning a Super Bowl, and it's not even his fault entirely.
Do you think
the Cowboys organization is an utter disaster. As long as he's in Dallas, he will never win one.
Is there anybody from the AFC that you think would make it? Like, I don't know if they win, but do you think CJ Stroud would make one
in his career?
If he wasn't there? If Mahomes wasn't there for
the
next 10?
Later, so Stroud is younger than Mahomes, of course. So I think if it happens, it would happen a little bit later on.
It would be Stroud, though, in your mind.
Between who? Sorry.
If you were to say, like, other than Burrow, Jackson, and Allen, is there anybody else in the AFC that would make a run at potentially winning one? Or is it only CJ Stroud?
Let's see where some of these young quarterbacks get drafted. Because now, as the quarterbacks that are in the league,
yes.
Outside of that, if I can't pick Mahomes, Burrow, or Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, or Jackson, I mean, yeah, how would I not say
CJ Stroud?
I mean, because I'm not saying Bo Nix. Yeah, he had a great.
No,
you know what I mean?
No,
who else am I picking? There's nobody else.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Like, there's nobody else that is in the league right now in the AFC. If I cannot pick Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar, or Allen, it would have to be Stroud. I mean, look at the playoff field this year. If we're just going off of 1 year, the quarterbacks that I'm eliminating, it leaves Bo Nix,
Justin Herbert,
and CJ Stroud. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I know Herbert hasn't won in the playoffs, so people will say it's crazy. But from a talent perspective, you would have to say Stroud or Herbert in this hypothetical that we're going through.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that maybe a little bit later as well. Late in the show yesterday, there was some news out there from Barstool. You guys probably know what I'm talking about now. A fight with Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker is scheduled
Jeez.
For April. This all stems from this video, I guess, that was out there from Bourbon Street in New Orleans, where John Rocker was yelling in an altercation with Pat Mahomes Sr. and everything like this. I think if it hasn't already been shut down, and I looked before the show, and I don't think it has. If you're number 15, if you're the son, you have to say, hey, you can't. We got to shut this thing down. You cannot. You're not fighting John Rocker on Barstool pay-per-view, rough and rowdy, or whatever it is in April. Like, you just shut that down. Yeah, that cannot happen. It absolutely has to be shut down. And I did text with somebody yesterday, believe it or not, about this. And they said they are working on it. They being...
Aren't shutting it down?
Yes. Yes. And I'll read you the exact quote. Let me pull it back up. Sorry. I'll read you the exact quote in a screenshot that I was sent from somebody's conversation. And essentially says, I'm working on it. Are you really going to fight and all this stuff? And the answer was no. And it seems like that is never going to happen. And it shouldn't, because that would be very embarrassing for all parties involved.
Yeah.
Very, very embarrassing. You have to shut that thing down. This is never happening in April. Would you actually have paid to watch, Drew?
I didn't pay to watch Tyson and whatever his name is, Paul. I'm not paying to watch Patrick Mahomes' dad fight.
Absolutely not.
Somebody who I didn't even know him until yesterday.
Well, that was funny. Yeah, the John Rocker. John Rocker.
No offense to John Rocker, but I didn't know who he was. So
he's a hothead. He's been a hothead his entire life. His entire life. And there were tweets that were sent back and forth. It looked like there clearly was some issue between the two, yeah. Whatever. But this fight's never happening from what I've been told. And I also would say there's no way if you're Patrick Mahomes, not senior, but Patrick Mahomes, the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm not letting my dad
Is that just what we're doing now whenever we have a beef? You know what? Let's go ahead and fight. You know, we're gonna have a fight. And we're going to grab some money and it's going to be fine, you know? I don't like you.
I mean,
you
it's kind of
like
sad. I mean, you mentioned Tyson. Like, that was obviously a money grab, but there's people around him that are also not saying no. I'm talking about Tyson in particular.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it gets to be ridiculous, where you're like, man, the type of career you had, like, go get your money, but there's people around you for your own health, too, that have to tell you if you're Tyson and any of these former boxers that are trying to go back and fight when they're in their 50s or 60s. Well,
and it's almost like it's not even a legacy thing, I guess, because people still remember Mike Tyson for what he was, but you're fighting Jake Paul all of a sudden you're going to be remembered by all of these people who are younger and never saw you fight. You're going to be remembered for an exhibition match that you lost. Because you're 50, whatever, 60, and you grab money instead. Like, you were chasing money, essentially, it feels like, instead of a legacy, quote-unquote. It just comes off as a bad look for everybody,
People
for sure.
On the text line say they'll just fight John Rocker for him or whatever.
I think
it's way more like John Rocker would just do the fight, because what does he have? He's so irrelevant. Like, you went to a name I had not said out loud in a very, very long time. In fairness, his last year playing in the big leagues, I think I was 12 or 13 years old. But I do know the name. I do, at the tail end of his career, remember him coming out of the bullpen. The dude was a roid rage John Rocker is what it was. But he probably needs the attention more than anybody in this entire scenario. But I will bet you quite a bit of money that fight never happens on April 19th.
Oh, yeah. From the 6-2. Believe it or not, Drew, people used to fight when they had a problem with each other. Oh, believe me, I know. I was not involved in fights. But, hey, high school and the commentary and meet at this time, 100%. I know about that stuff. But, you know, it's the...
Who would win between... Mac was texting us. Drew versus Mac versus Rob. What are the odds? Who's getting to fight who here?
Do not bet on me. I'm just saying, do not bet on me. One, because the main reason is I've had a shoulder problem for the longest freaking time, and I did dead serious.
That's why a shoulder problem?
No, dead serious. Went to go work out last night, and I'm doing push-ups. I used to be able to crank those suckers out. I cannot do more than 3 push-ups. My shoulder hurts.
All right,
I collapse essentially my right shoulder, which
What'd
is my
do?
Main arm. I think I threw it out. Like 2 or 3 years ago. Like, it's been an ongoing problem. Haven't had it looked at. It's my problem.
All right.
But
you're just saying medically you're not able to fight.
Look.
What about Mac versus Drew?
I'm not saying I'm going to
Mac
run
versus
from
Rob.
It.
How's Mac versus Rob? Rob's got the length, got the reach.
Yes.
That's the problem you, Mac.
I think Bink would like Rob because of the arm length. I think Mac has a little bit of tenacity, though, where he would just go, you know what, crazy and just... Start mauling, right? I feel like Mac has a level of craziness to him where he would just unleash.
Yeah, the energy level would be top notch for Mac. I worry about the reach for Rob versus Mac. I must text line saying very convenient that your shoulder is having a problem. We're talking about this. If the shoulder was perfectly healthy, Mac versus you.
I think I would surprise some people.
Okay. All right.
Because I come across as such a nice person. I feel like that's the idea of it. Like, I'm very nice, very kind. I think there's a level of me that
right
would...
before the fight, myself and Sean Barber, we just started trashing your Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow and just got you
that,
all fired
that's
up.
That's not going to change
got
any
you
way
all
that I
fired
feel
up. I feel like then you would be all about it. Then Mac would be in trouble.
I don't think that would that if it takes you trashing the Bengals to motivate me for something like that. I feel like I don't have the
who would you
the proper mindset.
Who would you want in your corner for the fight then?
Oh, like as a okay.
Because somebody's got to hype you up. Somebody's got to tell you, all right. You're all right. We're in this. We're good. You're good. Just keep with the jab. Keep with the jab.
Dead serious.
Bink should be your answer.
Bink would be, somebody said, Mac bite those kneecaps. Bink would be in his corner telling him to bite some kneecaps. Hey, man, just get away with it. Hey, man, don't worry about it. You're going to get away with it. It'll be all right. I don't want to cheat. I feel like Bink would bend the rules a little bit. I don't know if I want Bink in my corner.
Someone says, Mac would just start laughing. No one will be able to fight. 913-586-7966.
Someone said Mac is too pretty. Drew weighs 120, and Rob's got the wingspan.
Yeah, I would pay for that fight. Jeez. I'll tell you, I wouldn't pay for Rocker versus Mahomes Senior, but I would pay for Maury versus Nixon. Sign me up. 19.99 pay per view or 9.99. You know, maybe is more accurate, but I would pay it. I would definitely pay it.
Out of the boxing shorts and everything. Oh yeah.
Up next, someone's got a proposal to stop something from happening in college sports, and it might work, but it's a terrible idea. We'll explain.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going
So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What it is next. We'll get to some news around collegiate athletics, an idea that's out there that I think would work, but it's a bit much. We'll explain in just a bit. It's Cody Ingold, Alex Gold, and Drew Nixon with you today. So during the break, it became official. We kind of knew this was going to happen. That's why I don't want to spend too much time on it, frankly. But Aaron Rodgers has officially been informed that they are moving on from him in New York. The Jets announced that they are moving in a different direction at quarterback. They just sent out a tweet with like a thank you, Rodgers, which is a nice gesture, but like it's funny only because like thank you for the memories. Like the dude, like he played what? Like,
thanks, Aaron.
Like 17 games for them and they won.
It does seem a bit odd that they
seven
would.
Seven games.
Not that they would thank him because it's, you know, it's a nice gesture, but
sure.
You know, normally you do that if you at least, you know, are there for a long time.
But he's a name, right? You show respect as a future Hall of Famer. That's not going to change. Here's the financial end of it. The Jets, according to Adam Schefter, will face about $49 million in dead money when they eventually release Aaron Rodgers. They can take the full hit this year, or most likely they will designate him as a post-June 1st cut. They do that. That means they'd carry a $23.5 million cap hit until June 1. Then it drops to 14, so they'd save $9.5 million. But there will be a $35 million cap hit in 2026. So they're going to deal with this still for another year or so of financial hit due to the contract that they signed Aaron Rodgers to, and they thought that they landed themselves the quarterback that was going to get him over the hump. Obviously, that was not the case, to say the least. Aaron Glenn's now the head coach. They had to move on from Aaron Rodgers. When you bring in Aaron Glenn, if he wants to instill his culture, his way of doing things, you just can't have somebody that wants to do their own thing. The question, more interestingly than, hey, who is the Jets' next quarterback? Because that also now has to be answered, is who's giving Aaron Rodgers another shot? I think somebody is, but where? Now, some of the offshore odds, real quick, they'll tell you that Pittsburgh's the favorite landing spot. The Giants staying in New York, I don't see that. Retirement's another one on the table, and then the Raiders are another pretty popular pick, or at least odd-wise popular suggestion of where he can land. I do think he'll be starting for somebody next year. I know it's crazy as that sounds because he did not play well, but I do think there's a team that's not in draft position to go draft a franchise quarterback in a draft class that a lot of people believe is a little underwhelming from a quarterback standpoint, depending on where you are. Aaron Rodgers will be 42 next December, so you'll get through most of the season for a 41-year-old quarterback, and it won't be the same deal as Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers, where the Steelers were only on the hook for like $1 million. But I don't think it'll be that crazy of a contract for him. So somebody's going to take a chance if they swing and miss. Now, is he going to sign early on in the offseason? I would be surprised with that. Like I really would be surprised if the Steelers, let's say it's league year opens up mid March. And 2 days in, they sign Aaron Rodgers as their franchise quarterback. That, to me, would be stunning. To me, you got to exhaust other options in free agency. If you're the Raiders, if you feel like you can trade up in the draft, well, then, yeah, go get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. If you can't do that, and I don't think they can we get Sam Darnold? Oh, we can't get Sam Darnold? Then I would go for Aaron Rodgers. That might have been a crazy statement to say 4 years ago, 3 years ago, like, hey, I'd rather sign Sam Darnold than Aaron Rodgers. But in the year 2025, yes, if I had to sign a dude that I don't think can win me a Super Bowl anyway, I'm going to sign the Sam Darnold QB at this point versus the 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. But my guess, if I had to pick a team, would be the Pittsburgh Steelers.
It'll be interesting. It's weird how it comes down to this, but by the sounds of it, if Aaron is that gun ho on, I gotta be on Mahomes, or I gotta be on McAfee's podcast, you know, like I gotta be on his show like once a week.
Maybe he'll announce where he's signing next on McAfee's show.
No, honestly, I feel like that makes a lot of sense. But I wonder if, not that that would be a deal breaker, but I wonder if Pittsburgh's like, we don't want you to do that. You know, that's why I think it almost the Raiders makes sense in that regard. You know, we even talked about this off air yesterday when we were planning our show out a little bit and having a pre-show meeting. I think that him being on Minnesota would be hilarious because because the person who he did not like very much in Brett Favre, he would be following his exact same career path, which would be very ironic and very funny. That's not going to happen. But I feel like the Raiders just make sense, and I don't want to say it's because of McAfee, but by the sounds of it, he wants to still do that. And how many other NFL teams are going to be cool with it? Evidently, the Jets were not about that. Is Mike Tomlin going to be about that? I find it hard to believe that Mike Tomlin, like, yeah, you can go on ahead, but it doesn't affect them, I don't think, by him going on to McAfee's show. It's more of the, I got to take this vacation during mandatory camp and all of that stuff that I think solid. Turns people the wrong way.
They let him miss some days in the offseason to do that Netflix documentary, right? He was on the ayahuasca trip and everything. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, it's in some ways it's similar to the conversation we had about Kelce. And only what I mean by this is, if you're Rodgers, do you want to go out looking like you did? The difference, though, I would say between him and Kelce is, I think Kelce can still look pretty damn good playing football next year if he comes back and still put up, I will call it, top six tight end numbers, top five tight end numbers. I think Kelce could still do that. Aaron Rodgers, he could go to the most perfect situation. I just think he doesn't really have it anymore to the point
certainly
where
not top six.
Where, yeah, he's best case scenario, guys. What do we think? He plays like the 17th or 15th if everything was great and he was fully healthy and fully in and just changed his mindset a little bit. Maybe. So that's the difference, too. If you're Rodgers, do you think you can come back and actually play at a high level? If you can, then why would you even come back another year? If you think you can and you actually can, then you come back and you make sure that the lasting memory of your career is not how it ended in New York. And maybe there's a chance you get, like, can he take a Steelers team to the playoffs? If Russell
or
Wilson,
can a Steelers team take him to the
playoffs? Well, there you go. Yeah, fair enough. Like, and I think the answer is yes to that. Yeah. I think there's enough talent. We saw it play out.
Yeah, they can.
In Pittsburgh this year. My guess, if I had to, is that he is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers next season. We'll get to some other rumors that are out there next hour about the Steelers, including maybe a phone call they made to another team about a starting quarterback. And that's the thing. I don't think anybody's plan A is Aaron Rodgers. I think you explore all these other options, and then if you settle, you basically settle for Aaron Rodgers at this point in time. And that's what I think would have to happen for Vegas to be true, or for the Steelers situation to be true. So we can talk about this more later, but that's just a little bit of breaking news, although we all kind of expected this based on some reporting earlier in the week. But if you're just joining, Aaron Rodgers has been officially informed by the Jets that they are moving on from him as their quarterback, and interesting to see what direction the Jets themselves go for their quarterback spot going forward. But people like your idea that he should just go all Favre, Drew, and just go to Minnesota like Brett Favre did.
I think it would
as long as he eventually doesn't, you know, allegedly steal money from a state later on in his life, then we'll be good.
As long as he doesn't do that, that would be bad.
Yeah, stay away from Mississippi. Stay away. All right, let's talk college sports for a second, because there's a proposal out there that I think would work. it would work, but it also is crazy at the same time. What I'm talking about is Greg Byrne, who is the Alabama athletics director. And he's got a solution in his mind for this debate that's been going on for many years, but it's gotten worse, right? I think we would admit, especially with the Ohio State Michigan incident, it came back up big time. And that is court storming, field storming. And I don't want to get into reopen the debate about storming the court and their college kids and having a good time. There's obviously the safety issue that is, I think, most important here and why a lot of people believe it shouldn't happen. What I want to talk about is the proposal, which is right now the SEC and other conferences will fine teams, universities, athletic departments.
A lot of money.
For example, most recently, Vanderbilt received $500,000 fine from the SEC after they stormed the court when they upset Kentucky in Nashville. Big win for their program. His idea, though, the Alabama AD, it's not the first time he's brought it up, but it's getting more traction. He says that you should call the game a forfeit. After the fans leave the stands for the field or court, that could be the solution. He says safety is the main issue. Quote, I think from a safety standpoint, keeping people off the fields and courts is a good thing for everybody involved. If we said that the home team, if they storm the field or court, they're going to lose the game right then and there, that will stop it. I don't think he's wrong that it would stop it. I mean, you want to talk about a punishment. It would stop it.
It certainly would.
You would not I think have, because the university would also like have such strict punishment within it, and they would, if they had to have even more security, there, nobody is going to have a buzzer beating shot to knock off the top 10 team in the country, and their fans rush the court, and then they say, oh, by the way, the number 10 team actually still won. Could you, it's never, that's never happening, right? Am I crazy?
No.
It would work, but you can't do this.
It would be egregiously stupid.
You would also have, you would have issues with the fan base and the team. Imagine like the coach just flat out calling out the student that rushed the court that then cost his team a top 20 win that may have got them in the NCAA tournament. It would just be nuts, honestly.
We're letting something that had nothing to do with what happened on the floor determine the outcome of a game, which is very, very, very dumb. I will say this. It is kind of funny hearing Alabama's athletic director say this after they lost to Vanderbilt in football and after they have a very good basketball program now as well, where, hey, if the other team storms, hey, we still get the win. Hey, Alabama might be in the football playoff. We might have been in then if this rule existed because Vandy would have stormed. They would have rushed the field or whatever. You're right in the fact that it would absolutely fix things, but to have an outcome of a game that is taken very seriously from a football standpoint and a basketball standpoint in terms of determining potentially whether a team makes or does not make the NCAA tournament, the college football playoff, a bowl game, just a monumental upset in general, whatever. You can't have it be related to something that is, one, after the game is over with officially, and two, something that has nothing to do with any of the players on the actual field, you know, themselves. I don't know how you fix it. I think that it's very easy. You can identify students, I think, easier than any time beforehand. You can start. I know that they've had trouble picking out students who have thrown bottles on the stands and stuff like that.
Right.
But there's some way where I think you can penalize the student body maybe more than the team itself if something like this continues to happen. Because if the world was perfect, you get the opposing team off the floor, everybody rushes, and it's fine. And there's no problem.
And we've seen some adjustments. Some coaches have called timeouts in college basketball in particular. They'll call a timeout. They know the game's over, and they'll take their team off the floor to prevent that. We've seen that play out here locally with a couple of the schools here in the last year or so. That makes a lot of sense, allowing that to happen. I think some schools have gotten better about, you know, roping off, basically. I'm mainly talking about basketball because that's like it happens in football, but I think the safety issues from
the court rushing is more
just
dangerous
because of the square footage. Like we're talking about a much smaller area compared to a football field.
Sure.
So safety, I totally get why people want to find a solution. A lot of people, and I got a text from my buddy, and then also the text line has mentioned this too, which is what's to stop though someone from pretending to be like, now this would take a pretty coordinated effort in a game. It's like, what's to stop fans from acting like they're fans of the winning team and then striking and costing the team a game? Now, they're not going to cause a forfeit if like 10 fans do it, I don't think. I think it's if all of a sudden the masses do that. Like if one idiot rushes the court, they're not forfeiting the game.
Yeah,
but so you would have to have a pretty large number that somehow got into that building and pretended to be like KU's playing, you know, K-State in Bramlage like they just did. Now, they did not. To their credit, actually, they did not storm the court, if I remember
right. I thought that was impressive from K-State. Good for them.
So they did not storm the court when they beat KU. Maybe that's telling about KU's season. I don't know. But they did not storm the court. Imagine if there's just a bunch of, Kansas fans? Is that what we're alluding to? Like, we just think there's a bunch of KU fans that there's 200 of them somehow, and they all storm the court wearing K-State gear?
I will say
and then
this.
To cost K-State the win? Like, is that what we're talking about?
That would be very coordinated. Also, don't put anything past college students at this rate. I don't know, because people who love their college teams love their college teams. I don't. So somebody says ban the student section from attending the next home game. I don't think you can do that.
That's tough. I will say,
that would be a hefty penalty in terms of don't mess this up for our team.
I mean, student tickets, I don't know how every university does it. I know
that would be interesting, but I don't think they would do it, nor should they, because it kills the college part of the it kills the atmosphere.
It does have to be a stiff punishment to prevent it. But part of I still think part of being in a student section if you're at a school that is not expected to win and you come up with a massive upset, whether it's football or whatever, part of that is the fun, right? College kids rushing the field and all that. How do you make it safer is a fair question. I don't know if flat out taking forfeiting wins is the solution, even if I'll admit that I think that would stop it. And if that's all we're trying to do, then so be it. But there's no way this would get approved. It was just an interesting suggestion that was thrown out there by the athletic director at Alabama, right?
They have more things to worry about than this.
913-586-7965. We'll get to some comments from one national radio host that honestly, and I know we play a lot of audio over the year about what people say in regards to the Chiefs or whatever. And they're like, there's a lot of dumb stuff. I truly, like, deep down, and I had to think, if we were to really rank out one of the dumbest things that has been said in the last 5 years, what I heard yesterday from a national radio host is, like, takes the cake. It is one of the dumbest things. We can just get to it now, actually, and just get it out of the way. Rob Parker hosts a national radio show on Fox Sports Radio, which you hear sometimes right here.
Yes.
On 96.5 The Fan. We're not on local. We carry national programming. You guys know that, overnights and otherwise. Rob Parker said this about the Chiefs' loss and Andy Reid's future.
Andy Reid should step down as head coach. And you're going to be like, they just went to the Super Bowl three times, Andy Reid, blah, 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 blah. This is not a one-game reaction because they lost in the Super Bowl and they got boat raced and it was 40-6. Where were the adjustments? Where was the game plan? I'm not a football coach. Mm-hmm. Guys who are football coaches and question the game plan. No running game to start at all. And then you get behind, you got to pass. This is what he did in Philadelphia all the time. Pass happy. Always throwing the ball. They got tired of that in Philadelphia. Number two, this fall off the cliff is 2 years in the making. Last year, they won the Super Bowl, so it kind of covered up how bad things were. You remember with the receivers and the struggles and Patrick Mahomes. Here's another year. Andy Reid is supposed to be an offensive genius. Why is Patrick Mahomes struggling so much when you can't figure out a way to get him off and to get him to be not 50 touchdowns and throwing every ball downfield, mm-hmm. but way better. Can you admit that Patrick Mahomes hasn't been the same quarterback the last 2 years? Andy Reid is supposed to be that guy, and yet we haven't seen it. It's been a nice run. The last 2 years have been disappointing. Regular seasons. Yes, they went to the Super Bowl. Yes, both those times. And yeah, I'm not talking about the last 2 years. And this year, they got embarrassed.
That was Rob Parker on Fox Sports Radio yesterday. Real quick, I'll address the part because I know we'll get the text. We even said they didn't make good adjustments. They didn't make any. Like I don't disagree with that portion of it. That's the only part that makes sense of the entire thing. Did the Chiefs make adjustments? No. Was the game plan bad? Yes. All that is true. However, when you start with that, I can't take you seriously. You're either the biggest phony, and you don't believe what you're saying. You're the biggest phony. You're just doing it. So I guess here we are playing audio of your show. You're just trying to get attention. Or quite honestly, and I've never met Rob Parker in my life. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. Or quite honestly, you're a freaking moron. It's one of the two. You can say about the game plan stuff, that's fine. But the minute you suggest that they've been falling off a cliff for 2 years when they were coming off back-to-back championships and they were closer to a three-peat than anybody has ever been in NFL history in the modern era, you're an idiot. Or you don't believe what the hell you're saying. And I think it's probably more that. And that's what sucks, unfortunately, with how some of this stuff has gone recently. But that's absurd. Has Mahomes not put up the numbers recently? We've talked about that. Has the offense been as explosive recently? No, we've talked about that. But the idea that Andy Reid should step down is just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. He refers to the last two regular seasons. Hey, you know, Rob, you're smart enough to know this. You're watching the games. You cover the sport. The Chiefs won the last two Super Bowls. So regardless of how the regular seasons looked, they still got the job done in the end. And like, if they don't make a Super Bowl for the next 2 years and it's some of the same issues, okay, Rob Parker has this taken. It makes a lot of sense 2 years from now if that's the case. But to say it as if they haven't won the last two Super Bowls and it's been a serious problem where, yeah, the regular season, sure, it hasn't looked that great, but I think, you know, all the conversation that we have here is it's evidently a more of a local thing than anything else. The Chiefs don't care about the regular season because the division's so freaking easy. The last few years it's been, you're going to get to the playoffs eventually. That's when the season starts. It doesn't matter whether you got to go on the road or whether you're hosting. The regular season stuff means absolutely nothing to how the last two seasons have gone for them.
We had a discussion yesterday, Drew. I mean, I think everybody in Kansas City, I know I see it on from you guys as well, that text in. Like, I think everybody is acknowledging they have to get better in certain areas, that in the game itself, there were mistakes and they did not adjust. And there were both from a player and a coaching perspective. That all can be true. But to suggest overall that the last 2 years, they've been just falling off a cliff when they won two championships and they almost just, you know, they were a game away, four quarters away from winning a third. It's just ridiculous. Now, someone said we should create a new game on the show, and I kind of like it. They said we should have. It sounds like this is a new game. Read a quote and ask, idiot or troll? I kind of like that. You know, we just play it. Do we think they're just trolling or are they actually a moron? I kind of like that. We could do that a lot.
You would like to hope that a lot of them are just trolling, but
I think a lot of it is that.
Some people legitimately might believe.
There's a few people that might lack intelligence, but. Like on this take, I actually think it's trolling. For his sake, I really hope it is, because it's one or the other. You're either an idiot or you're just flat out trolling and you don't believe anything you just said. I just the beginning.
Andy Weed should step down.
We're done.
There are a lot of people who are pointing out that there's a lot of good points in there, which I think that's very true.
The adjustment stuff. There are good points in there, yeah. But when you say he should step down, you lost me. You lost me in the beginning. The stuff in the middle, we've acknowledged. All right. Up next, we get to the 11 o'clock hour. We may not be talking enough about one, maybe two big QB moves of this offseason. No, it's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about two guys that are still under contract. I'll tell you who that is. And there's already some schedule speculation happening. It's coming up next on Cody and Gold.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.